Time now for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Chris Dennis. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, still no confirmation of where the Indian Premier League will be staged. Will it be England, South Africa, or even India? Liverpool can still win the Premier League title, so says their former goalkeeper Bruce Grobbelaar. And Japan retain their World Baseball Classic title in Los Angeles. But we start with cricket, and with just 17 days to go until the scheduled start of the Indian Premier League, it's still not clear where the tournament will be held. The commissioner of the IPL, Lalit Modi, will meet the South Africa cricket chief executive Jerome Majola in Johannesburg on Tuesday to discuss whether the IPL can be staged there. Majola told the BBC that the fans of the game would welcome the tournament in his country, which he said has all the requisite facilities, but he did admit that he didn't yet know what Lalit Modi wanted.
I still need to hear from him what his requirements are. As far as we know, he wants the tournament to start on the 10th, and that is for us is feasible. We can do that without hassles. All that we have is good stadiums, good facilities, it's good weather, and good crowds for 2020 cricket. IPL is largely followed also in South Africa. So, I mean, there's already a vibe. I've been getting calls all over the country, whether we're hosting it or not. So people would like us to host it.
Well, that includes the former South African captain, Sean Pollock, who says his country would be the perfect choice.
I think it's all of a sudden become the favourite. I think the advantage for us is that all our domestic cricket is finished and the stadiums are pretty vacant and all the facilities are available to be used. The weather is also pretty good, and I think the time frame of the viewing will fit in nicely into the Indian schedule. So there's a lot of things going for it, but who can say?
Well, after visiting South Africa, it's believed that Lalit Modi will travel on to England to talk to officials there. Andrew Wildblood from the marketing and media group IMG, who helped set up the Indian Premier League, will be attending today's meeting in South Africa. And he says both countries are perfectly capable of hosting the tournament.
Each country will, I'm sure, have different positions. And I think that, you know, we really have to properly assess the opportunity in each before we can sensibly make a decision. Right now, Lalit will have no preconceived thinking. He will have a very open mind. You know, our real purpose is to make sure that whatever decision is made as to where it goes is the decision that is in the best interest of the tournament. Clearly, we'd like a little more notice, but we organized the inaugural IPL last year at very, very short notice, from kind of concept to delivery of events. So, to some extent, the challenges this year are less than they were last.
So, a final decision on where the IPL will be staged isn't now expected for a few days. But the BBC's cricket correspondent Jonathan Agnew says despite all the activity in England and South Africa, there's still a chance of it taking place in India.
I've spoken to a lot of people, some involved actually with franchises in India, and I still pick up this kind of a feeling that there's some brinkmanship going on here as well. Cricket is such a huge political part of Indian life. And there's part of me that thinks, well, they've threatened to take it away, they've said it's going away, let's see what the public reaction is. There is a general election, after all, in India, and cricket talks. And I do think that the organisers of the tournament actually would obviously much prefer it to be staged within India, where everything is in place.
Next to football news here on the BBC World Service, and when the English Premier League resumes after the international break, it will do so with the defending champions Manchester United a point clear of Liverpool with the game in hand. Having seen his old club beat United 4-1 and then Aston Villa 5-0 in their last two league games, the former Liverpool goalkeeper Bruce Grobbelaar is tipping the current team to win England's top division for the first time since 1990. Grobbelaar was part of that title-winning side and has told the BBC that the class of 2009 has what it takes.
Well, it's been a roller coaster, hasn't it? Before Christmas, we were 7 points ahead of everybody. Now, then we became 9 points behind, and now we're 1 point behind, but United have got a game in hand. We know that we have got to win every single game that we play. Our away form is better than our home form. We know what we have to do. United, on the other hand, have had this little hiccup. They've got to go away to international duty, come back and regroup. It's how they're going to be regrouped, what they've got in their tank and what they've got in their mindset. Believe me, this is not over by a long way. Arsenal are going to come into this, Chelsea is also going to come into this, and it is going to be a long, hard season. It's not over yet.
So no doubt that things are going well on the pitch for Liverpool, but behind the scenes, significant changes could be on the way. It's thought that co-owner George Gillette is ready to sell his interest in the club. The president of Gillette's NHL ice hockey team, the Montreal Canadiens, has told a Canadian newspaper that four financial firms are looking at all of Gillette's sporting assets, including Liverpool Football Club. A spokesman for Gillette would only confirm to the BBC that a review is underway and that it's an ongoing process. To the World Baseball Classic Final next, and Japan have retained their World WBC title. They beat the Olympic champions South Korea 5-3 in the final in Los Angeles. As the BBC's Chris Mitchell now reports, although the final wasn't a highlight on the United States sporting calendar, it certainly was in Japan.
The WBC might not be a big deal in the United States, but it is big in Japan, where baseball has long been the number one sport. Workers crammed into bars and restaurants in Tokyo and other cities to watch the game, which started at 10:30 a.m. local time. Electronic stores selling big-screen TVs were suddenly turned into public viewing galleries as the baseball-crazy nation stopped to watch as Japan defended its title. There were similar scenes in Seoul, where South Korean fans skipped work and school to watch a large-screen broadcast of the game at the Jamsil Baseball Stadium. In the end, Japan needed a 10th inning to beat their arch-rival South Korea 5-3. That prompted the newspaper printing presses in Japan to roll off special editions, and Japanese fans who'd taken time off work celebrated in the streets with banners emblazoned with Samurai Japan. The back-to-back WBC titles were especially satisfying for them, given the results of the baseball tournament at the Beijing Olympics, where South Korea won gold. Japan finished a disappointing fourth then. Now they're top of the world again.
Korea was second, Japan was the first, which means that we proved our strength for the baseball. All these Asian countries are not so bad for the baseball.
One very happy Japanese baseball fan ending that report by Chris Mitchell. One other piece of baseball news to bring you. The San Francisco Giants pitcher Kelvin Pichardo has been suspended for 50 games after testing positive for a banned performance-enhancing substance. The 23-year-old right-hander from the Dominican Republic is the third player this year to be penalised for violating Major League Baseball's drug prevention and treatment program. In NBA basketball, Orlando Magic now need just one more win to clinch their second straight Southeast Division title after beating the Knicks 106-102 in New York. In Florida, Dwayne Wade scored 27 points to break his own Miami scoring record for a single season as the Heat easily beat the Memphis Grizzlies 94-82. Wade now has 2,064 points this season, 24 more than his previous best set in 2005. And the Boston Celtics beat the Los Angeles Clippers 90-77. On to cycling, and Lance Armstrong says he could miss the Tour de France after breaking his collarbone in a crash during a race in Spain. Armstrong, who was hoping to win his eighth Tour title, now needs an operation.
At the end of the race, people were starting to get excited, a little bit of wind, some hills, a couple of guys crashed in front of me across the wheel, and then I hit them over the top, and broken clavicle, broken collarbone, as they say. Road rash, abrasions, but I never had that happen before, but it's pretty painful, and just wait to see how it heals.
Briefly, some tennis news. Kim Clijsters is expected to confirm her comeback to the circuit later this week, 2 years after retiring from the game to have a baby. The former world number one will announce a schedule of tournaments, which is expected to include the US Open in September. Before we go, a reminder that with just 17 days to go until the Indian Premier League is due to start, there's still no confirmation of where the tournament will be held. The IPL commissioner, Lalit Modi, is due to meet officials in South Africa on Tuesday before flying on to England to discuss their ability to stage the event. And that's the latest.